The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 21st through Sunday, October 27th, 2024. The commentary for the month of September was written by Joseph Yu, vicar of Mosaic Episcopal Church, a church plant in the Diocese of Texas. He is also the author of When the Saints Go Flying In. The commentary for Monday, October 21st, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 58b. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Here's the commentary. Years ago, about 15 minutes before worship was to start, someone came up to me and said they found a houseless person sleeping in the back part of the church property. "Don't worry," he continued with a smile. "I chased him out of here, and he won't..." Well, before he could finish, I ran off to find this person. But he was long gone. Worship that day started a little late, but honestly, it felt a bit empty for me, even though I was presiding over it. The church member and I had a conversation after worship about how to approach this kind of situation next time with a bit more grace. I'm always confused about why we treat our houseless siblings with more contempt than grace. Many Christians will ignore a houseless person on their way to church to offer worship to Jesus, who lived an itinerant life. Theologian Willie Jennings says disciples are watched, especially by those in need. Disciples must be seen, especially by those in need. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And the moving forward question for this Monday, October 21st, is, are we making ourselves seen, especially by those in need? The commentary for Tuesday, October 22nd, begins with a passage also from Luke chapter 10, verses 2 to 3a. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. In 2019, I was given the task of planting a church. At one point, I was overwhelmed. I didn't know where to begin or what to do. The instructions Jesus gives here are so simple, plain, and easy. It's so easy that it feels incredibly difficult to do. Jesus asks his disciples to live a simple life, rely on the generosity of others, and get to know and engage the people in their community. I was overthinking the first few steps of starting a church. I spent so much time asking God, "What do you want me to do?" When the answer was simple, go and meet people, engage them, get to know them, break bread, share stories, love God and love your neighbor. It seemed so simple that it felt like it couldn't be from God. Interestingly, if God gave me something difficult, I'd think, "Oh yeah, this is hard. It must be from God." More often than not, the invitations from God are simple. And now here's the full gospel passage from Luke 10, verse 1 to 16. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And the moving forward statement for this Tuesday, October 22nd, is a reminder from Forward Movement that Forward Movement donates resources to prisons, hospitals, and nursing homes. And if you would like, you can support this ministry by going to forwardmovement.org. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, October 23rd. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 19. "Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God." And it is on this day, October 23rd, that we commemorate St. James of Jerusalem. Here's the commentary. "I think it's human nature to be exclusive. There's excitement and delight in being part of something that feels elite. When I worked at a church in the suburbs of Los Angeles, our staff received access to Club 33 in Disneyland, thanks to a particular parishioner. It remains one of the most exclusive places I've ever visited and continues to be one of my few sources of name-dropping. When our churches adopted an exclusive attitude, we have a problem. It may not even be intentional. Sometimes we assume a guest knows all the ins and outs of our liturgy and the locations of all the exits and restrooms. Other times we add conditions before someone can be part of and participate in the community. An extreme example occurs when people are awarded different statuses based on how much money they give to the church. I wonder what Jesus would say about some of our practices, intentional or not, that keep people who want to turn to God away from us. And now I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 12 through 22a. The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophets. As it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. From its ruins I will rebuild it, and I will set it up, so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called.' Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago. Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them to abstain only from things polluted by idols, and from fornication, and from whatever has been strangled, and from blood. For in every city for generations past, Moses has had those who proclaim him, for he has been read aloud every Sabbath in the synagogues." Then the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church, decided to choose men from among their members and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Now, the moving forward question for this day is, first, imagine attending your church for the first time. Would you find it inclusive or exclusive? What changes need to be made? The commentary for Thursday, October 24th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 29b. He asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" We seem to be always looking for a reason not to love, because loving our neighbor is such a difficult commandment. I once preached a sermon about how we are called to love our neighbors and pray for our enemies, genuinely wishing the best for our enemies. After the service, a parishioner came up to me and said, "I pray for my neighbor all the time, but thanks to you, I think I need to change how I pray for him." Curious, I asked, "How did you pray for him before, and how are you going to pray for him now?" "Well, I used to pray every day that he'd go to hell, but now I'll really try to pray that he has a healthy and full life." Jesus' method of destroying our enemies is to love them in such a way that they no longer are enemies, but become our neighbors, maybe even our friends. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, October 24th, do you need to change any of your prayers for your neighbors or enemies? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, October 25th. It begins with a passage also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 42a. There is need of only one thing. Schedules and budgets are moral documents because they reveal our priorities. Someone said that if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy doing things that don't matter. Well, this phrase stung when I heard it. When things get out of control because of my poor planning, I focus on what's urgent rather than what's important. What's the difference? Urgent is when my car dies because I haven't changed the oil for a year. Important is maintaining that car. In this passage, we see Martha distracted by the urgent, while Mary chooses what is important. The best teachers, parents, clergy, and people I know aren't the best because they do more things, but because they do more of what matters the most. They say no to certain things so they can say yes to the important things. Choosing is a deeply spiritual act. We choose how we perceive things. We choose the kind of world we create and we live in. We choose what matters the most to us. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. And the moving forward question for this Friday, October 25th, the hard truth is we have time for what we choose to have time for. The question is, how will you choose? The commentary for Saturday, October 26th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 11, verse 2b. Your kingdom come. When my son was learning the Lord's Prayer, he kept saying, "My will be done, my kingdom come." Well, no matter how many times I tried to correct him, it remained, "My will be done, my kingdom come." I laughed and told my wife, "At least he's honest." Theologian Richard Rohr once wrote that when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we also have to pray, "My kingdom go." Whether we realize it or not, we're working on building two kingdoms, God's and our own. Often those two kingdoms can coexist peacefully. The values of God's kingdom align with our values, and they seem like one kingdom. Ah, but those two kingdoms will sometimes be at odds. God's values will ultimately conflict with ours. It is definitely a matter of when and not if. And when those two kingdoms collide, we have a decision to make. Will we work on ushering in God's kingdom or our own? And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke for this Saturday. It is chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how will you help build God's kingdom today? And now as we near the end of this program and the end of this week as well, let us turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 27th. It is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, and the commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 51a. "Then Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" There may be no stupid questions, but there are unhelpful ones. I once did something fairly stupid, and after facing the consequences, my wife asked, "What did you think was going to happen?" I responded, "Obviously, not that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it." Jesus' question to the blind man feels like an unhelpful and insensitive question. What else would the blind man want but to see? Perhaps Jesus is teaching us a lesson to live the life that God always intended us to live. We need to know what we want. I once had a series of conversations with a person who wanted something more in their life. When I kept pushing on what they meant by something more, they didn't know. They knew they wanted it, but because they didn't know what it was, they remained lost. What I love about this story from Mark is the blind man's unwavering belief in not only what he wants, but that Jesus is the person who can help him get it. And he is bold in asking for it. Now let's listen to the story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, how would you answer this question from Jesus? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.